My guest at this time is Dr. Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He directs UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book, now in paperback, is The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House. And for the president, that must seem like a long time ago. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing great. It seems like a long time ago for everybody.
Well, obviously, the last few weeks have not been kind to the president politically. The idea of Republicans winning a Senate seat in Massachusetts seemed unthinkable a few weeks ago. Then, of course, that meant that his health care agenda is very much on the rocks, and there's other issues that we'll be talking about here in a couple of minutes. But as the president gets set to deliver a State of the Union message in about 48 hours, Larry, what does he say?
He's got to strike a balance between optimism, which Americans always want to hear from their president. They don't want Jimmy Carter talking about a crisis of confidence and how we're going downhill. But he has to be realistic about the very unsettling economic conditions that still exist and apparently will exist for some time. So it's that balance between optimism and realism. If he wants to look at any president and see how a president handled it well, he would go back and see how Ronald Reagan dealt with this at this point in his presidency in 1982, when he faced the very same challenge of a rotten economy that wasn't getting better. And sure enough, Reagan and the Republicans lost a lot of House seats that November. But Reagan had set the table for economic recovery so that he could take credit when it happened. Obama could do the same thing.
And so along those lines, then, for those who suggest, and some published reports have suggested that Obama's already a lame duck, they're writing this political a little bit way too soon, right?
Yeah, anybody doing that doesn't know anything about electoral history. They need to read some political history, because you never, ever, ever write a president off at this point in his term. You just don't do it. There are too many things that can change. There are too many things that will change, including the state of the economy. Look at economic history, not just political history. Recessions and slow recoveries do not last forever.
What about the American people and their opinion of the president themselves right now? Do they still have confidence in President Obama?
The polls clearly show people still like Obama. He has a high favorability rating. But they are starting to wonder where the change was. Why haven't things improved? And we as a people are notoriously impatient. We are. You don't turn around this economic ocean liner without a lot of ocean. That's true whenever there's a recession, whoever is in power. But it's up to a president to give people confidence. Now, it's interesting. I think he is also hearkening back to somebody he doesn't particularly like, Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton was at his lowest in 1993, 94, 95, what did he do? Well, he focused in on micro issues, on little bitty programs that he could focus on each day, have a press conference about. What did Clinton do? He convinced people that he was doing everything he reasonably could from the perspective of the executive office to get the economy up and working again. Now, we all know those micro issues didn't have anything to do with economic recovery, but it's what people think about a president. Do they think he's trying? Do they think that he's making a positive difference? If they do, then they're more inclined to give him credit when things turn around.
Larry, another thing that we've learned in the past few days since the Republican win in Massachusetts is that the president has basically brought in his 2008 political team to try and either minimize losses or maybe even break even, although that looks unlikely at this point in time. David Plouffe, of course, is the main name brought back in. Others like David Axelrod have been in the administration. Does that smack of good strategy, or is it smack of desperation at this point?
Well, obviously, Obama is trying to send a signal to panicking Democratic troops that something is being done. And that's a good way to do it. You know, that's somebody they have confidence in who hasn't been in the administration. Of course, does that mean that David Axelrod hasn't been doing a good job? He has been there every day. You know, presidents always do this. Presidents of both parties, they have cabinet shakeups, they have staff shakeups, as though anyone coming in could change the underlying nature of the economy. No one can do that. You know, you can come up with new slogans, but slogans don't matter unless the reality matches the slogan.
Republicans and Democrats are looking at the House map. They're looking at the Senate map, and the Senate map got a lot more complicated when it appears now that Republicans may have the edge in the race to fill Joe Biden's old Senate seat in Delaware now that his son Beau is not running.
Yes. Well, my crystal ball website actually had that seat tilted to the Republicans even when we thought Beau Biden was running. I'm convinced that he was going to lose to Congressman Mike Castle, who's the perfect Republican nominee in Delaware in a year like 2010. Now that Beau Biden is out, you're going to have and also ran as a Democratic candidate. Now, Delaware is a Democratic state. You have to run a good campaign. You can't be Martha Coakley and assume you're going to win if you're a Republican. But Mike Castle, as long as he runs a strong race, will have the clear advantage there. And we estimate that Republicans could easily pick up an additional 7 seats in the Senate. It may end up being 4 or 5, but we can see real possibilities for up to 7 seats, which would bring the Democrats down to 52.
I won't ask you to tick off all 7, Larry, but talk about some that are more recently in play, because it appeared once Chris Dodd stepped out that Connecticut pretty much went back into the safe Democratic column. What are some of those states the Republicans really are licking their chops?
They now have North Dakota. North Dakota would have been a tough race had Byron Dorgan, the long-term incumbent, run for re-election. But now that he's dropped out, essentially the Republicans, through their governor, John Hoeven, they have that seat. So that's plus one for the Republicans. I think the Republicans have a good chance of picking up the Arkansas seat currently held by Democrat Blanche Lincoln. They have a good chance to beat Senator Harry Reid in Nevada, the majority leader. They have a good chance to pick up the open seat that is filled on an interim basis by a Democrat in Colorado. They could even win Obama's former Senate seat in Illinois. That is an open race right now, but they have a strong Republican candidate, Mark Kirk, a congressman. That's a real possibility. So you move around the country, you can see a lot of places where Republicans can pick up. Now, it's also true that Republicans have the retirements. They have a lot of senators retiring in places that are competitive, like Missouri, like New Hampshire, and they have to hold those seats. Kentucky's another one. Right now, if the election were held now, I think Republicans would hold all their open seats. We'll see by November. They're looking pretty good in Ohio, where a Republican senator is retiring, and originally that looked likely to lean Democratic. Now it's leaning Republican.
Larry, the economic situation will obviously have to be quite a bit brighter if the Democrats are going to do anything this fall. At what point do the voters tend to make up their minds? Is it close to Election Day or a couple months out?
It takes a few months of sustained good news to convince voters that things are really improving. You know, we're all overwhelmed by economic data, and some of it's up and some of it's down, and, you know, it's like Wall Street. Wall Street goes up and Wall Street goes down, and you know, sometimes for no particular reason, you can't figure it out. So people have to see sustained good news after a long period of bad news. So you can't simply have all the indicators turning up in October and have people believe it's real and then vote for the incumbents in November. I think it has to be at least several months for people to really believe that it's true.
Larry, we'll keep watching and we'll keep looking ahead at those races. Thanks so much for your time as always.
Thank you, Greg.
Larry Sabatow teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He directs UVA's Center for Politics, and he's the author most recently of The Year of Obama, now available in paperback. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.